is 5 till 1. Hello. It's the Bob and Dan radio program with Bob and Dan, of course. Duh. Donovan. Dribs and Grooves and Seabass. And mind the buzz we're causing around the station now. Because in studio. I think he's in studio only because he'll be at the Addison Improv.
Or is he only
Improv.com.
Is he only there because he was stopping by here first?
Yeah.
Who could possibly know?
In studio, the great Steve-O.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Woo.
Look at him. He's got like a scab on his elbow as if he was just doing something crazy.
Yeah, skateboarding.
Skateboarding. Of course. Yeah. Of course he is.
Uh-huh. Backside 180 over this big wooden block, and I came up a little short. It's all good.
So welcome. Welcome,
thank you, man.
Welcome
thank
to
you.
Our fine city.
Thanks for having me, man. I hear good things about you on this show.
They're all, know? That's true. Well, like you're very lucky.
Apparently most comedians that perform at the Addison Improv aren't allowed on here. So
they don't make the cut?
Big honor. Thank you.
Well, this is this was a no-brainer for us.
Cool,
we celebrate your catalog.
Nice.
You're one of our heroes.
We find ourselves.
You're one of the guys we'd have at dinner if we could have three members of history at dinner.
Oh, really? Okay. Wow.
Leonardo da Vinci.
Jesus and Steve-O. That's a nice crowd. I wonder what we're going to serve, you know?
That's awesome. That's awesome. All right. So, dude, I don't know where to start. How about this? You're doing stand-up now.
That's right.
Is this like the first run at that?
No, man. I first got into it almost 5 years ago. Someone invited me to the Laugh Factory in Hollywood, California to do something crazy on stage. When I walked in, I looked around and I thought, man, the craziest thing I could possibly do would be to try stand-up comedy. You know, like it was terrifying. And, you know, I got on stage and I just winged it. And I had some beginner's luck, I guess. I got some laughs and I thought, man, imagine this. Like, imagine being able to entertain people without having to break bones or shove things up my butt.
Wow.
I thought this is amazing. So I really stuck, you know, I stuck with it and I really put in the work and it turned into something and you know, doing little sets in comedy clubs turned into offers to be a headliner at famous comedy clubs. Oh man, sorry about
that. Uh-oh.
That's a reminder for something. But then I started getting offers to headline in comedy clubs and at that point I'm thinking, all right, now we're selling tickets to a Steve-O show. Like, I've got to do crazy crap, too, you know? I can't just do stand-up, so...
You're Steve-O.
Right, so so I do... That's how it works, man. I do a set of stand-up comedy, and then I do a set of outrageous crap that I'm known for, you know?
Really?
Not stuff that people know, you know, not stuff people know. It's tricks that you haven't seen on Jackass or anything like that.
So no wasabi. No, we're not snorting
now,
wasabi.
That's kind of a trigger for me. I've been clean and sober for over 3 years now.
Oh, okay. So, so let's stay away from the wasabi because of what that leads to.
Right.
Oh, okay.
It's a gateway.
It's a gateway.
Yeah, I try not to put anything up my nose.
Okay, that's good.
So,
that's good.
Yeah, I remember when we first heard the Steve-O story about that Steve-O is all cleaned up. A little sad, really. I mean,
it's more than a little bit sad.
You know, you're
downright tragic.
You're Steve-O.
If you're sad that I'm not partying anymore, you know, don't be sad about
that.
It turned all bad. You know, it turned all bad. Ask any of the guys on Jackass, like, you know, they will physically kick your ass if you try to hand me a drink or drugs because they know what I'm like.
You're also, just not a guy who can take it.
I'm just not. It's not good. It's
you're just
think about what
you're full throttle for anything you ever do.
Think about what he's saying, Dan. He's saying those guys,
even the Jackass guys, who you
needed,
would think
he needed help.
You would think a stunt would be, you know, giving you alcohol.
Right. Well, but put it to you this way, like to put into perspective. I've been clean and sober since the day Johnny Knoxville stepped in and pulled an intervention on me. He literally, he called up Dr. Drew and he said, Steve-O's going to die. And Dr. Drew said, you're damn right. You know,
so
get in there. Yeah.
So the Jackass guys think you're out of control.
Yeah, well, put it this way. You know you've got a serious problem when Johnny Knoxville's your intervention.
Yeah. I was going to say.
Like, jeez. He should encourage that kind of thing.
Wow. What was that like?
It was crazy, man. They showed up in my apartment. It was Knoxville. The director of Jackass, Jeff Tremaine, the executive producer, the director of photography, the sound guy, the camera guy. It was literally like the whole crew of Jackass came over to my apartment to lock me up in a psychiatric ward on what's called a 5150 hold. You know, and imagine the irony of this. The Jackass crew shows up at my apartment to stop me from hurting myself after they helped me hurt myself.
That's how you guys have made your name.
And that's what happened, man. They locked me up in a psych ward. It wasn't the kind of intervention where you get to say, yes, I'm willing to go, or no,
okay,
I'm not.
Right.
Like, this was you come willingly, or we kick your ass, and we take you there against your will.
Wow. And that's how the Jackass guys would run something like that.
Right. It was gnarly, man. And so they had me for...
Were you pissed at first?
Sure. I was defiant. I was telling them, I'm fine. I'm not going. You know, no interest.
How much drugs were you
high when they came to get you?
Yeah, I was in really rough shape in general. Put it this way, that was not my first like major intervention. As far as I'm concerned, it was like my fourth.
Yeah.
But the thing about the first three is that I hallucinated them.
Oh dear.
I'm dead serious.
Wow.
I'm dead serious about that, man. I was at the point where I was hearing voices. I was watching people walk around my apartment that were just not there.
What were you doing?
I was huffing nitrous oxide, snorting cocaine, snorting ketamine, popping pills, drinking booze, smoking weed.
What was the bad stuff you were doing, though?
Huffing, huh?
Yeah, you know, PCP was a big one, too, but I only ever...
You tried PCP?
I smoked a ton of it.
That's a smoking thing, huh? I don't know what PCP is. I just remember, after-school movies or something, pretty much.
It's referred to as a dissociative drug, and ketamine is its pharmaceutical equivalent, and I was real big in the
Wasn't that the guy who got beat up by the cops, the black guy?
Rodney Mullen?
There's only one guy.
Rodney King?
Yeah, Rodney King.
Oh, I said Rodney Mullen. He's a pro skateboarder.
Oh, okay. Rodney King was PCP, wasn't he?
I believe so.
They were trying to say that he was on PCP, but I'm not sure that he was. I think that was just, here's a crazy black guy on PCP. Let's beat him up.
You know? Okay.
Like that's kind of a go-to, I think.
I see. Situation. Did drugs help you, though?
PCP! They start yelling, they start kicking.
We don't want to just talk all bad about drugs, right? Did drugs help you do... Like, get through, you know, they say sometimes drugs might help this young lady
like
get
if you were
through
working,
this pornography scene.
If you're working at a Best Buy your whole life, do you do that? Or did your lifestyle lead you to that?
They say that drugs are responsible for a lot of great rock and roll music being created, you know? I put out...
I'm not sure I could do this stunt. Let me
There are certain
get
things.
A little prepared.
For Jackass and Wild Boys, I was never... really acutely under the influence of anything. You know, they just wouldn't be interested. You know, they wouldn't shoot with me if we're too wasted on the set. But I would do I had my own tour and a side a series of DVDs, which was all it was gnarly. If I was high enough, I'd do stuff like let people choke me unconscious six times in a row, which I did. there's a lot of stuff that a lot of really reckless stuff that I probably wouldn't have ever done if I wasn't high and drunk. But
so the TV show wasn't reckless enough. You had personal tour that pushed the envelope a little more.
The TV show and the movies had a line, and when it was we're not gonna let us shoot that. I was like, okay, great, good to know. And then I would go shoot it and I'd put it out on my too hot for TV video.
what one stunt was too hot for TV that you shot on your?
There's a ton of I have a whole catalog of those things. I found a unemployed registered nurse to put an IV in my arm. I dumped 5 shots of vodka in the bag. So
oh my gosh!
I shot up 5 ounces of vodka. Another time, I found a frozen. I found the Cuyahoga River in Cleveland was partially frozen, where some parts of the ice were frosty and some parts were kind of clear and see. And I got in a tutu and I went skating out on and until I fell through the ice. And they were like, "Man, we can't show that, dude," because I was sure I was filming that one for Jackass. And they saw that they're like, "No, dude, a kid gets out on ice skates on thin ice and falls through, then we're like,
right, right."
I was like, "Great news, you know, that's extreme ice skating. It's the first scene on my first DVD."
Yeah, you know, that's the weird. And this is the great Steve-O with us. That's the weird thing about the show is I think you had two audiences, guys like us who really enjoyed it but never in our wildest dreams were going to try any of it.
Yeah,
but then the other audience that probably kept the lawyers busy.
Yeah, it's like a how-to guy.
We're the little morons that were trying
to
do it, right?
I think that kids see that warning at the beginning of the show that says, warning, don't try this at home. And what they're reading is, warning, you are going to be the man if you do any of this stuff.
You know what it's like? It's like the don't do drugs warning or something for somebody who's on drugs. They laugh at it. That's funny. Don't do drugs.
Warning, if you do any of this stuff, you're going to be really rad.
Yeah. You're going to be famous.
Right.
That is awesome.
But as soon as Jackass started, I you know, I recognized what was and wasn't allowed on TV. I put together a whole show of stuff that wasn't allowed on TV, and I would go out and I'd come out on stage with a bottle of liquor and just be chugging it and do all this drunken rambling and stupid stunts. And it was a really successful tour. I sold out venues in 12 different countries, and I was shooting these DVDs the whole time I was on it. And then now, obviously, I've changed my lifestyle quite a bit. So my new tour, I've replaced the drunken rambling with stand-up comedy, and I'm doing stupid stunts. it's really kind of similar, you know? And if you come to my show at the Addison Improv, you're going to learn how to drink for free in bars for the rest of your life, which is one of my... I don't need to...
So you won't tell us here?
Well, I'll tell you, like, it involves... if you go up to a bartender in the bar and you ask for a disposable cup with any kind of liquid in it, then that's all you need. So, you know, I take a pitcher of water and I pour it into a solo cup. And I explain, okay, now you have what you need. You go up to someone in the bar, you say, I'm going to blow you away with the most amazing bar trick in the world. You tell them what the trick is. I'm going to balance this drink on my head. As soon as I let go of the cup, both of my arms go down completely by my side. While I balance the drink on my head, I'm not allowed to raise my arms whatsoever, and I have to drink it without spilling a single drop. If I can do that, would that be worth a free drink? And, of course, it's worth the free drink. And then I show you how it's done. Something, I'll tell you how I learned it, is because I graduated from Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey Clown College in 1997. And it's the most incredible trick of all time.
Wow.
And, so come check out the show.
So you can do this trick?
Absolutely. Man, damn, sorry about that.
That's all right.
It adds to it.
So, I do it, man. It's guaranteed. This drink kept me drunk for years before I ever got paid to be a jerk.
Is this a bit? Or, can you do that for us?
I don't want to give it away, obviously, it's for the show.
Okay.
But there's more than that. And, like, I'll tell you another thing that I'll do. I will set myself on fire and do simultaneous fire-breathing acrobatics. Like, it's really not good for me because my back isn't in that great a shape. But I climb up on top of this table and I set my hand on fire and I have a mouthful of... lamp oil, and I literally.
And you're not doing drugs, right?
Right, right.
Okay. Yeah, this is the new and improved safer lifestyle.
Right, yeah. with a mouthful of lamp oil and my hand on fire, like I'm on top of this table, and I do a front flip simultaneously, blowing a humongous fireball with the lamp oil, which I flip through. My head goes right through the fireball. I crash on the table flat on my back. It's one of the highlights.
See, this sounds like
I'm intrigued.
This sounds kind of like the Seinfeld show I saw a few years ago.
I'm intrigued. If only I could talk my family into an Easter weekend with Steve at the Addison Improv.
You should, man. And the stand-up comedy, I think, you know, like what I love about it the most, man, is when people come to me after the show and they're like, dude, your stand-up is really funny. You really don't have to do all of that stuff to hurt yourself at the end, you know? Because, like, I'm doing stuff that I'm just putting myself through hell at these shows. And,
but it's like an exclamation point, I would guess, on the show.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, man.
Probably set you apart a little bit.
Absolutely. And I want to do everything that I can to make it the best show possible. So, of course, I'm going to, you know.
Yeah.
And I take pictures with every single person in the crowd after the show. Like, I really do everything I can to make it a good experience.
Well, we got a ton more to talk to you about, so hang tight, all right?
Oh, man, for sure.
Let's do another segment. It's 1:10. It's Steve-O.
Yeah, it's
going to
be hilarious after the commercial.
Man,
yeah.
We're going to get to the really good stuff next on the ticket.
KTCK Dallas-Fort Worth, KTDK Sanger, KPLA.
1:16.
Enough fun.
It is Sports Radio 1310, the ticket. There were quite a few laughs in that break. We have the great Steve-O in here with us in
that
studio.
That would have been a good uncensored... thing for our satellite show.
I'll be on the DVD.
If we were alive during that commercial break, how much would that have cost you?
Oh, in fines?
Yeah, probably a million.
All right, so Steve-O is in here. His phone's going off again.
Yeah, man.
You have an alarm set for every 4 minutes.
No, I'm accidentally
just
hitting
in case
snooze.
He's talking to someone he doesn't want to.
Oh, okay.
I'm accidentally hitting snooze.
That's all right. All right, so he's in here. He's at the Addison Improv tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday. For tickets, go to www.improv.com. And we have him, Dan, for what I am told is exactly 12 more minutes.
Okay.
And then he has to go.
Let me say this. On my official Steve-O website, if it links to my Facebook. I'm brand new on Facebook. Facebook and Twitter, I just posted out secret passwords that if you call the Addison Improv, you can get your tickets for tonight, limited availability, 2 for the price of 1.
And it's, yeah, so it's at Steve-O on
at
Twitter.
At Steve-O on Twitter. Yeah, just go to the official Steve-O website.
Okay.
And they're linked onto there. Facebook or Twitter. That information is out there. Find that information. Get your tickets, two for the price of one tonight. Just for tonight. And the stand-up comedy I wanted to tell you guys. That I told you during the break, obviously. But all these stories I'm telling you are completely true. And, you know, there's one thing just to give you sort of, like, it's the one thing that's safe for the radio, unlike, you know, so much of it. Like, I knew that, like when Jackass came out, I knew that the chicks were treating me differently. I know, you notice that right away when you become, like, sort of famous. And but it's a different deal when we started making the movies. We're filming our first Jackass movie, and I notice chicks are going the extra mile. You know, when I'm hooking up with this girl, as soon as she gets my wiener out, she feels like she needs to tell me something really serious, right? So she looks at me, I mean, awkward as hell. She says, "I was in a bad car accident," right? And I'm thinking, like, you know, like, I'm sorry to hear that. You know? Then she says, "Get ready to have a really good time," and she pops out her upper teeth.
Oh, right? Wow.
So for the very brief moment after that, you know, because I have crippling issues with premature ejaculation. Right?
Whoa.
And so for the very
This one's the cleaned up one. Here, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So right, for the checking. Very brief moment after that, I mean, I was blown away, right?
Oh, like, yeah, yeah.
And like, you know, I'm thinking to myself, this isn't a Hummer. This is a Gummer, you know? And I couldn't wait to go tell my Jackass buddies about this. I wasted no time. And they were so happy to hear it that they literally found me a shark with no teeth to bite me in our first movie. And that's the true story behind why there's a scene called the Whale Shark Gummer.
Oh, you know, so it's like an inside joke between you guys.
Yeah, totally. You know? I love how you guys
you
are all
like...
You
think that problem...
We're like, where's it
going?
You guys aren't even like seeing the humor in it. You're all just like, why is this on? Why is he saying
no? No, just trying to keep the car out of the wall. That's all. We're going around the track here. We're going very fast.
I think to myself, I know that this is a funny story, man. Like, why aren't they laughing? And like, it's because these guys are like, man, we're about to lose our jobs over this. Oh man!
All right,
it's not a kids show.
No, it's probably not. So.
12 and up.
With regards to how the whole thing came to pass, I'm...
Right.
Yeah, were you buddies with those guys growing up and stuff?
I stole a video camera from my dad, which he won in a corporate golf tournament at the age of 15. And
he won?
He won it in a corporate golf
tournament. At his age 15?
No. When I was 15.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
When I was 15. He won it in a corporate golf tournament.
Okay.
You stole it.
He put it in the closet, and I helped myself to it and started making videos right away. So, you know, I just loved that. And
What?
Skateboarding. It was all about skateboarding.
All skateboarding.
And then I went to college, and I quickly determined that I couldn't really bring myself to go to class, and I knew I couldn't keep any kind of a job. So I was like, man, you know. I also, it dawned on me that I wasn't that great at skateboarding.
Wow.
So I figured, like, okay.
That's horrible.
I know. I figured I need to find other stuff to film. And so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to be a crazy maniac with a video camera, and this is how I'm going to make a living. And, like, people...
Like, would you do the jump on the handrail going down steps and
sure,
stuff like that?
Sure, but I got hurt too many times, so I kind of threw in the towel on that.
All right.
Yeah, but yeah.
But then were you videoing it while you got hurt, and then you saw it? Whoa.
I was better at falling off the skateboard than I was at landing on it. And that had a lot to do with it.
But then on the show, you really, by definition of who you are, you almost can't say no to anything. So when they have Henry Rollins giving you a tattoo on a dune buggy.
I was happy to do that. I love that one.
Can we see it?
Sure, man. It's right here.
Oh, okay. Very good.
Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice.
Wow. You would never have known that was done in a dune buggy.
Right.
It's so good.
You know, it's just got all levels of...
It's just lots.
It's just got all levels of insanity. Yeah. Is that you just can't say no.
Right.
And also, and I'm not saying this attributed in any level to your substance issues.
Right.
But at some point, you're sitting there saying, okay, I'm really famous. This is awesome. There's a lot of money here. That's awesome. Okay. Where does this end? Like, when we're 50, we can't be doing this, probably. So
Stooges did it until they were 60, right?
Yeah.
That's true. So you did research this.
I'm just wondering, as you guys are watching this whole thing happen, I suppose it's happening very quickly, and you're just excited to be popular sure. and so forth, and movies yeah. that lead to more movies. And more
well, basically what you're getting at is the age-old question, is it better to have loved and lost than to have never loved
you know,
at all?
You know what I'm getting at is this whole generation of ours, whether it be rappers or skateboarders or whoever,
uh-huh.
it's just that generation that at some point, they're going to get to an age where it's going to be weird
right.
for all of us. And like Donovan just sent me a picture of,
what do you mean?
Of Coolio.
Like the junk ones?
Coolio, who's gone bald, but he's still got the...
Okay. Oh, you mean like...
Oh,
he's still
wow.
trying to... There's like, going to be a nursing home full of women with back tattoos.
Yeah, like at
right?
some point, Dr. Dre, and I know he's aging gracefully, just I just wonder where professional skateboarding and or the BMX uh-huh. racers and the stuntmen, like at some point, it's okay, he's approaching 40. That's cool. All right, now we got the senior tour, and they're 60, and they're still jumping. You know, I just
right,
wonder.
Right, right,
just wonder about that.
You know, we'll just take it one day.
Age is just a number.
One day at
but,
a time.
But you're segueing into stand-up.
Right, right, right. That's
so it. Obviously you saw, okay, I'm getting broken bones every year.
Right.
This kind of sucks. Could you detail your injury history?
I've broken lots of bones. It's a pretty long list.
Now, yeah. is there a skit that you just said, can't do it? When you're in the planning meeting, they said something, and you said, there's no freaking way.
I talk about that in my stand-up a little bit, but that's like kind of the funnier things that, you know, like that I turned down, and not appropriate for the air. But but the serious question to your answer, an example of something I turned down was being duct taped to a mechanical bull. You know, they wanted to, like, seriously duct tape me to a mechanical bull and just let the thing go crazy. I'm thinking at some point you got to fall off that thing.
Right.
You know, like,
right.
You know, like, I was thinking that's not, I'm not trying to wind up in a wheelchair or a coffin just yet, you know? And, it's tough, man. When we're making these Jackass movies and I'm thinking, man, I don't want to get paralyzed. Like, that gets in the way of a lot of our work, you know?
Like, I don't want to get paralyzed.
Yeah. Right. Like,
what
you
a
kinda,
ridiculous claim.
You know, you have to roll that dice, you know? You got to roll that dice,
well, and then
man.
You're in a whole room of knuckleheads all saying, before Steve-O was famous, he would have done this, you know?
Yeah, right, right,
so
right,
right,
yeah,
pressure,
dude, how do you know that?
Right?
Yeah. Oh, Mr. Prima Donna.
Yeah.
Prima Donno.
Oh,
he's gone big time on us. He won't let the snake bite him there anymore.
Right.
You know? And,
yeah.
I mean.
I know.
We applaud your efforts. You've brought right. us many happy times and many laughs. It's just at no point, you know how you often wonder, would it be kind of cool to be Kobe Bryant? I've never wondered, would it be kind of cool to be Steve-O, because it looks like a tremendous
yeah.
toll to
Too
be
much.
You.
Right. Why do I have to be Steve-O?
You've been cursed.
It looks like what's the worst injury? You said you've had many. What's
man,
the worst?
Yeah. In one spectacular fall, I threw myself off of a second floor balcony. And when I hit the concrete on the ground, I had a broken cheekbone, 7 broken teeth, 10 stitches in my chin, a concussion, and a broken wrist. That's pretty good.
Now, what were the... you say you threw yourself off a second-floor yeah. balcony. For what purpose?
I was trying to impress a fat chick.
So it wasn't even for film.
Right. It was not back in 1995.
Was she impressed?
I was an idiot. I know, wait, Ron Jeremy's calling me. Should I pick this up?
You really? Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
Hi, Steve-O. How are you?
Okay, man. I'm on the radio.
He's been on the ticket many
You're
times.
On the radio right now?
Yeah, I'm in Dallas, Texas, on the ticket, and apparently you've been on there. I got you on speakerphone. Say what's up.
That's too funny.
Why is Ron Jeremy calling?
Ron Jeremy's always trying to get me to host this this what is it, Miss Nude Universe?
I'm calling you for it once again.
Why don't you do it?
Sunday in July. We had Dennis Rodman last time. We had Gene Simmons. We had Kid Rock. It's the third Sunday of July. It's a Miss Nude North America pageant.
What's it pay?
It gets 6,000 people in the audience. It's in Roselawn, Indiana, which is about an hour out of Chicago. You know.
And how many years in a row have I turned this down, Ron?
About 100 girls compete on stage.
Why you turn it down?
25 guys competing for Miss Nude North America.
Because
it's a big event. Very, very big events. We're going on for 30-some-odd years. Tim Allen used to host it. Remember him?
Tim Allen.
Yeah. But yeah, we love Tim Allen.
Over the last 20-some-odd years, and I brought in a lot of major stars. You know,
I tell you, I got three guys here, Ron. three guys here, Ron, who are looking at me like I'm a complete moron for not doing
it. Yeah, why not?
It was a lot of fun. I mean, I even had Flash came and brought his, brought Pearl, brought his girlfriend at the time when we came along. I mean, guys are boy girls.
Hold on. Remember radio.
Oh, sorry.
AM. AM radio.
Hey, Ron, man, I gotta go, dude. I'll call you back.
Yeah, let me know, man.
All right, cool. I love you, brother.
Wow.
Yeah, who knew?
That was unexpected. Do you have a Wee Man's number in there?
I do.
Okay, just wondering.
Is it listed under Wee Man?
It's yeah.
Or like Fred or whatever his name is.
All right. So Steve-O is at the Addison Improv tonight.
Hey, there's one more thing. I don't know if this is worth it, but someone said I have to ask Steve-O about getting beat up by the Wu-Tang Clan.
I never got beat up by the Wu-Tang Clan, but I did get threatened with death.
Why?
Like, what happened?
They seem like such gentle guys.
It was this is, I want to say, summer of 2006, maybe, and old Dirty Bastard had passed. He was the founding member of the Wu-Tang.
This is hard partying Steve-O, then.
Right, right. Okay. Very, very drunk.
Vintage Steve-O.
Yeah. And
classic Steve-O.
So they did their concert, and they brought me up on stage, and what I did was I said that in old Dirty Bastard's memory, and in honor of him, to pay tribute, I was going to get naked and swing all of my junk back and forth, jump up in the air and catch it behind. It's called the double back. Right?
Oh, okay.
And so then I'm in the mangina position.
All right.
And then once I'm in the mangina position, then I'm going to jump up and I'm going to do a perfect standing backflip. So it was a double backflip.
Okay, yeah.
Right.
In honor of his memory.
Yeah, of course.
In
honor of
he did it all the time.
Yeah. And Raekwon, one of the Wu-Tang members, he didn't think that was something that...
Inappropriate
tribute.
He comes from a different world, though.
He doesn't play that stuff.
Yeah.
he thought that wasn't cool. So he grabbed me by my neck, and he dragged me out, and it was a really scary moment, and it got me, like, not looking like the toughest guy ever. Like,
yeah.
Very gangster of Raekwon. And he said he said that I was going to apologize right at that specific moment, or he was going to beat my face in, or something. And I was like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. That's an easy choice, right?
And then he released his grip on my neck, and a lot of security said, "Hey, you need to get out of here right now."
And you were like, "Yeah, you're right."
I was like, I'm
"That's
with
a great
good idea.
That's a great idea."
What a boring life you've lived, Steve-O.
Yeah. You know, I have a book coming out.
Yeah, I know.
It's called Professional Idiot, a memoir. And
that's coming out this year. Another Jackass movie, right?
It's Jackass 3.5 out on June 14th. My book comes out June 7th. I've got the comedy tour.
You're on tour. You're hooking up with three girls at a time. Everything's going well.
The story about the Triple Beach is really something else, man. You got to be at the Addison Improv.
Oh, okay. That's going to be told on stage.
Yeah.
And the beer trick. And don't forget the beer trick.
Right.
Performed with water.
All right. Let's give this to Steve-O. This is our wacky radio liner, Steve-O.
All right. Cool, man.
And then, we'll let you go do your thing. What do you do then? Take a little nap before the show or something tonight? What do you do?
I'll do something along those lines. something to recharge myself.
Oh, okay.
And relax you at the same time.
I'm going to do something spiritual.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, dudes, this is Steve-O, and I never listen to the Bob and Dan Show on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
There you go.
Ladies and gentlemen.
All right.
Your hero and mine, Steve-O.
And I think we had the bar raised real high, and he jumped over it.
He did it.
You know what I mean?
Nice.
He did it. Well done.
Well, thank you so much, man.
Check him out at the Improv tonight, tomorrow, Sunday. Go to steveo.com and buy everything you want to. What's that?
Easter with Steve-O.
Yeah.
No better way to celebrate.
Spend all Easter with Steve-O.
So memorable.
Celebrate it right.
All right, 1:33 on the table.
Hey, thank you all so much.
I'm the Train Station Fitness Show.
If you are a sports radio...